Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm ready to get started. Thank you for tuning in. Let's begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for all the many blessings that you give to us in our lives. Above all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We ask that during this Lenten season that we can continue to know your Son, Jesus, better. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit so that we can go out and share your love with those around us. We present to you all of our needs, whatever they may be. We ask you to take control of our lives and handle our problems for us today so that we don't have to worry about them. Father, I ask you to speak through me today on the program and help me to be able to present the message that you have for us. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've got a really good show for you today. We're going to be joined in a little while by author Pat Gohn, who will be talking about her new book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. I think you're going to really like this interview. Later on in the hour, we will be joined by Catholic Answers senior apologist, Jimmy Akin, and he's going to be talking about his latest book, which is called A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. If you've never had a chance to hear Jimmy Akin, I think you're going to really love him. But since he's all over the place, he's been on Catholic Answers Live for so many years, I'm sure you're familiar with Jimmy. He does a great job. If you've ever been concerned about being able to explain the faith and thinking, I wish I could articulate better the positions of the church, well, you need to hear what Mr. Akin has to say. And furthermore, you got to check this book out. It's a great book. So we have that. We have music. We have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. And as we do every day, we have the one and only, the man of the hour, the man who's too sweet to be sour.
Gare, did you stay up all night?
Mr. David Parker.
Good morning. Hey, what a great intro that was. Hey, thank you.
Dave, it's always...
Gare?
Well, yes, sir.
I was going to say real thing, you know, because our guests are... a lot of them are very prolific writers. Yeah. And I just had this thought. Look at all the books that we have... that are available to all of our listeners. If they, I mean, in the faith, in the richness of the faith, and it runs the gamut.
Yeah.
And we're building libraries here, you know.
Yeah.
If all the books that you have and that you go over with our guests, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
and they're beautiful.
And we're learning something in this process, Dave, right?
Absolutely.
We bring these great guests on, and we're growing in our faith. And so it's a blessing to be able to have people like Jimmy Akin
Absolutely.
And Pat Gohn come on
wow.
the show. And we've got more and more people who want to come on Spirit in the Morning. Praise mm-hmm. God for that. We're just going to keep bringing
Amen.
You the best guests we can possibly bring you. Tomorrow on the show, Dr. Matthew Bunsen is going to come on to talk about Catholic social teaching. Dave, we hear a lot about immigration. We hear mm-hmm. a lot about why abortion is wrong. Mm-hmm. And yet we get out into the world and we're challenged by people who are mm-hmm. saying, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We can't let everybody into our country. Why mm-hmm. can't a woman have the right to choose? And so many more of these church social teachings come up in our day-to-day lives.
Absolutely.
We need some help. We need some
exactly.
guidance.
And sometimes we're not prepared to engage in that conversation.
Yep, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So we're going to have Dr. Bunsen
Excellent.
On with us, as well as our buddy Dan Burke, who will be doing his regular Into the Deep segment. I love it when Dan comes on.
I do, too.
I'm never quite sure what we're going to talk about. We really don't discuss too much in advance what aspect of prayer we're going to touch on, but he always manages to blow me away each week.
Absolutely.
He does such a good job.
And I can't wait.
And there's a really busy guy. Dan mm-hmm. is very busy, but he wants to come on the show.
Yes, he does.
So
yeah, we're blessed.
We are blessed. So we're going to read the gospel shortly. And by the way, I forgot to mention Matthew Kelly with Best Lent Ever today.
Oh, yes.
That's what a great feature. I mean,
we can't forget
it. I know.
Matthew
Kelly.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Now, tomorrow after the show, Dave, you and me are going to have a little talk. I am driving to Erie, Pennsylvania, your hometown.
Yes.
And we'll talk later. I still have to come up with the best route to go, but I'm speaking
okay.
at the Erie Catholic Men's Conference this weekend on Saturday. So I'm heading out to Erie on Friday, along with the other speakers at the conference. we're having dinner with Father Larry Richards tomorrow, which should be interesting. I've already shared Father Larry's words of encouragement when he said to me, you better be good or I'll kill you. So if I don't show up on Monday, you know I wasn't good at the Erie really. Men's Conference.
We'll have to put out an APB. Where's Gary? He's, he's not back.
Gary got beat up by Father Larry Richards. I don't know. Father Larry's great, though. I'm looking forward to that. And then next week, I'll be kicking off, actually it kicks off on Sunday, a parish mission right around the corner here at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish in Warrington.
Yeah.
So that kicks off on Sunday. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, pray, hope, and don't worry is the theme of the mission.
A good friend of ours from Man Up Philly, I think Mr. Ed Clank.
He's a parishioner
He's
there.
A parishioner there, yeah. That's so, right, Ed, if you're listening, you know.
That's right.
Hope to see you
I'm
there.
I'm coming your way, Ed. Yeah. So that'll be on Sunday. So where was
Bring it? Water. No, just kidding.
Let me see. Before I go to the gospel, Dave, I've got a really deep question for you.
Yeah. Oh.
You ever use a squeegee?
Yeah, that is a
my
deep
wife
question.
Saying, my wife Eileen is saying right now, oh, no, he's talking about the squeegee again.
Well, I have used squeegees over the course of my life.
Here's the deal. I live in New Jersey. I don't advertise that too much. I know I'm a Philly guy. I was born in Philly, grew up in Philly, but I live right over the bridge in South Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't pump our own gas over there. So we get a little bit spoiled. Mm-hmm. Now, when I come over here to do the show, sometimes I'll stop for gas.
Mm-hmm.
And you pump your own gas. And they also have the squeegee available so you can clean your windshield.
Yes.
I can't master the technique. I've got streaks all over my windshield. Are you a squeegee expert? You look like somebody who would do a good job with
your
windshield.
Well, speaking of that, just a couple day before yesterday, I had to squeegee my windshield. So yeah, and my headlights.
Oh, your headlights.
Yeah, because you know all the gunk from the and the spray from the roads. Yes, but I guess I'm a master of it. I mean, I've done it so many times. Growing up in Erie, you have to squeegee a lot, I'll tell you.
See, I knew you
Frank,
would know this.
I wonder if, no,
I knew you would know the operations of the squeegee. So we're going to take this offline because we have a show to do. But yes,
one thing I won't say, I mean, don't bring it up with Father Larry, because, I mean, I'm sure he's a squeegee expert, too. I mean, you really will get killed. What, Zimak, you don't know how to squeegee? Come on.
Get out of here, you heathen. You know how Father Larry is.
All right.
Anyway, we'll talk squeegee and Erie after the show. How's that?
Not necessarily in that order. All right.
Oh, man.
That was great, Garrett. I mean, you threw a curve. I wasn't. That was good.
Yeah, anyway, let's look at today's gospel as we reel ourselves in. Today's gospel comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 23. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. Some of them said, By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons. Others, to test him, asked for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me. Mm. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Dave.
Yes, Gary.
Here's another example of, and we see a lot of these in the Gospels, especially in Lent. Mm-hmm. We're getting hit with a lot of these great examples. Jesus just healed a mute man. A mute man couldn't speak. Jesus healed him, and the man was able to speak.
Yes.
But some of the opponents of Jesus, and let's be honest, we can all be opponents of Jesus at times, even though we don't want to admit it. They're looking at this miracle. They're seeing the mute man speak, and they're saying, aha, It's by the power of the devil that you're doing this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We need more to believe that this is really coming from God.
Yeah, so who else can perform miracles other than the evil one or something? That's their perspective. You know, like, who are you? Who gave you this power?
Right. Yeah. We don't believe you're really the Son of God, exactly, as you say. So therefore, our minds are closed. I don't care if you healed this man. We're looking at the evidence. We're listening to the mute man speak, but yet we don't believe you.
Exactly.
Dave, do you think that sometimes we fall into that trap and we look at miracles in our own lives, or we look at the work of the Lord, maybe through a person that we don't really like, and we say, oh yeah, but this guy, he's just, he sounds good, but he doesn't really mean it. He's all about himself.
Yes,
that's not coming from the Lord.
That's part of human nature, I think, our doubtful nature. I mean, it assaults our senses in a way, like, how can that be? You know, that couldn't happen that way,
right,
you know?
Right.
And it causes us to doubt, and then we get thrust you know, down that road or whatever.
And we're told in this gospel also, others to test Jesus asked for a sign from heaven. Well, he just healed a mute man. That's not good enough.
Yeah, what more do you want, you know?
But I think this is a good lesson. I think the mistake that we sometimes make, Dave, is that we'll look at a gospel passage like this and say, oh yeah, boy, those losers, they didn't believe in Jesus. Good thing I'm not like that. Rather than let Jesus speak to us through this gospel and remind us all
that
we can do this sometimes.
You know, sometimes, and we want, again, we want proof, and
we want proof
through the senses. And sometimes it's so hard to simply accept it.
Yeah, and we want more proof. If we get proof, if we look back over our lives and we see, wow, the Lord really came through for me so many times. He got me through so many hopeless situations. But this situation I'm facing now, that's different. I don't know. This isn't going to work out. And we refuse to look at all the evidence in our own lives.
Exactly.
Of his miraculous intervention and his providence. So it's a good gospel. It's one that we can easily brush off, but I recommend that we don't brush it off. We ask the Holy Spirit today, how am I like these people who are challenging Jesus, who are doubting in him?
Yes. Yeah, let the scripture passage permeate our minds and our souls, and think about it. Ponder it.
Yeah, ponder it, right. Yeah,
and ask the Lord's help.
And you will get an answer. So that's why I love to read the gospel on the program every day, because I want the Lord to speak to us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, author Pat Goen will be here to talk about her new book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. You don't want to miss this. You know the deal. Grab yourself some coffee, make yourself comfortable, and stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 23rd. Today we celebrate Saint Toribius of Mogrovejo. Born in Spain in 1858, Toribius studied church and civil law and taught at the university level. In 1571, he was appointed the chief judge of the church court of the Inquisition at Granada. When the first Archbishop of Lima, Peru, died, Toribius was tapped by Rome to succeed him. Still a layman, Toribius initially protested his unworthiness. But he finally consented and was ordained a priest and bishop. Arriving in Peru, he immediately set out to challenge the evils of colonialism, including the oppression of the native population. He also initiated reform among the lax clergy. Toribius leapt into his work, traveling on foot and by mule around his enormous diocese of 18,000 square miles. His first pastoral visit kept him on the road for 7 years. He preached to the Indians in their languages and helped produce a catechism for their use. A model of pastoral sensitivity and courage, Toribius died in 1606. One of the best-loved saints of Peru, he also is the patron of Latin American bishops. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
I can only imagine But it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine by Mercy Me. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Quick look at today's weather. Today, currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 24 degrees. Your forecast today, sunny with a high near 45. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 31. Friday, slight chance of rain and sleet between 9 and 11 a.m. Then a chance of rain. We'll have mostly cloudy skies after that with a high near 53. Pat Gone is a speaker. She's an author, and she has written a new book. I love the book. I love the title, All In: Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. She's here with us now to discuss her new book. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. I'm happy to be with you.
I'm so happy we could get you on the show. I apologize. Last week we had a cancel. We were affected by the snowstorm. We couldn't get into the studio. And I think you had some difficulty with the snow as well, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I live up in the greater Boston area.
Oh, boy.
And we got quite a quite a dumping of snow up here as well.
Yes.
Still with us.
Yes. Pat, I want to talk about this book because I really love the concept. All in, why belonging to the Catholic Church matters. Why did you feel the need to write this book?
Well, you know, I do a lot of retreat work, Gary, mm-hmm. and as you know, you're a speaker, you go out, people ask you questions, you know, and sometimes you're there to talk about one topic, but then you wind up talking about a lot of other topics as well. And one of the things that kept coming up was this idea of, you know, the church has so many problems, and I live in the Archdiocese of Boston, where mm-hmm. we came through the long Lent of 2002, which was a church scandal of, you know, seismic proportions here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people suffered in that. You know, it was a lot of fallout from it, and a lot of people really kind of had a separation, if you will, from the church. You know, they felt wounded by the church, and their relationship to the church was very much weakened through that. At that time, I was on a parish staff in a local parish, and you know, I saw it firsthand. You know, the suffering and the devastation, really, that happened in our region here because of it. So the question was, why stay? Why, you know, why stay connected when things are such a mess? And even for myself, I had to kind of, you know, dig down deep, to find reasons to stay. And it really was because of my faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ established the church, and Jesus loves the church. He died for it. He pours all of his graces into it. But it took me a while to kind of find my footing. So this book is really how I still have confidence in the church in light of, you know, her troubles and, you know, warts and all, but also taking kind of a macro view of the church, seeing the church in all her glory as well, and through the lens that Jesus gives us to look at the church. So All In is a very ambitious title, but it's really written for people who may not feel all in, for people who are maybe discouraged or disenchanted with the church. And I find, you know, a couple of different chapters that list ways that we can be confident in the church. And really, the bedrock is our confidence in Jesus Christ primarily.
And I'm so glad you make that point, because that gets lost too often. People talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is absolutely essential. As Catholics, we need to do that. But as you said, and I'm so glad you brought up the point, he founded a church, and we encounter Christ in the fullest way possible through his church.
Oh, absolutely. And I definitely talk about my own personal journey in this book in terms of my growth as a cradle Catholic who had a relationship with Jesus as a teenager. And, you know, that was something that kind of carried me through my adult years. Mm. But then when you hit something that's very explosive, like a scandal in the church, you know, you really have to almost, you know, find new ways to connect and to find new strength. Like drawing on your faith is so vital. So I talk about that. And what I really start the book about is this idea that a lot of times our connection with the church is tenuous, because mm-hmm. we fail to realize how beloved we are of God, how much God loves us, and that we are his beloved children. And if we miss that identity point, that yoking our who we are with who God is mm-hmm. in and through the gift of our baptism and things like that, we miss a big opportunity to grow with the graces that the church gives us.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think you hit on a key point that people often forget. How do I work on getting a better understanding of just how much God loves me? And I agree, that's crucial. No matter what you're going through in life, we need to understand how much he loves us, especially when we're facing difficulties and tragedies, because if we don't realize how much he loves us, we're going to look at these things as horrible events, but actually they're expressions of God's love. So how do we work on better understanding his love for us?
Well, I give a couple of tips in the book. One of the things that I really trust in is God's Word. You know, God's Word is alive, and God dwells in his Word. He's united to his word. So when we read God's word in the scripture, we can really be listening for the cues of how God loves us. I mean, mm-hmm. I always tell people, you know, just read through, you know, John's farewell discourse of Jesus. Start in, you know, John 15 and read those words as if, you know, it's a love letter to you. But I also list in the book many times where, throughout the epistles in the New Testament, where the different writers of those letters are referencing one another as beloved. You've probably known this when you're reading, you know, one of Paul's letters or something that Peter's written. They talk to one another and they say, beloved, let us love one another. They address one another as beloved. Why do they do that? Because that's what they are. They are beloved of God. So there's this identity question there. The other thing I really unpack in the book is the belovedness that connects us to God through our baptism. And I walk people through the baptism of Jesus on how, you know, Jesus is immersed in the water. Mm-hmm. And then we, you know, the Holy Spirit appears and the voice of the Father appears saying, this is my beloved Son. Well, you have to dial back to your own baptism. Now, somebody like myself who's a cradle Catholic, I was baptized when I was a child, an infant.
Right.
I have no memory of that. There's a picture, there's a photograph, and a certificate. But I really have to spend some time just meditating on my own baptism and listen to the Lord, you know, immerse me in the water and have the Father's words spoken over me. This is my beloved daughter. You know, and our... The gift of the sacrament of baptism does that because we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's like speaking our identity over us in that moment.
I love that point you made because it's so easy, and I did it for years, to go through the motions and to become lukewarm. I never fell away from going to church and went to Mass every Sunday, but for years I was lukewarm. But it's when you start to meditate and think about, the Lord loves me so much that through my baptism, he allows me to be incorporated into the church, which is his mystical body. When I start thinking about that, then I start to realize, wow, this is a great gift.
Right, right. And the church has so many ways to help strengthen our relationship with the Lord in and through the graces of all the sacraments that we can take advantage of. But some of the other tips I give in the book is just, you know, calling people to... just, you know, have a little experiment. You know, if there's a church that offers adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, the church believes that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the host that's been consecrated at Mass, that's in the monstrance. So if somebody can just spend a little time before adoration, before Jesus present there, or just go to a church where there's a tabernacle and spend time in his presence. You know, the Holy Spirit wants us to open the door a crack, and God does the rest. So if we come before him in this way, if we say we're available, the Lord will meet us more than halfway.
That's right. That's what we need to remember. He's going to do more than his share of the work. Pat, I only have about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you for coming on. I love the book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. Where's the best place to get the book? And how about if anyone wants to bring you out to speak, where's the place to go?
Well, definitely, I love to recommend your local Catholic booksellers in the Philadelphia area. And also, Ave Maria Press is the publisher, and it's also out on Amazon. People can find me on my website, patgohn.net, patgohn.net. I'm happy to give retreats, talks, conferences,
awesome.
All that.
Awesome. Great job, Pat. Thanks for coming on the program with us. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
God bless you. Pat Gohn, the book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. When we come back, Jimmy Akin's going to be here. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. British police say they believe the attacker, who killed three people, including a police officer outside Parliament, acted alone and was inspired by international terrorism. Police say they've raided six addresses and arrested seven people in connection with yesterday's attack by a knife-wielding man who also mowed down pedestrians with an SUV before being fatally shot by police. The Republican Party's long-promised legislation to repeal and replace Obamacare is standing on the brink just hours before GOP leaders plan to put it out on the House floor for a showdown vote. GOP leaders who are short of support are looking to President Trump to close the deal with a crucial block of conservatives. Meanwhile, the chairman of the U.S. Bishops Committee on Domestic Justice and Human Development sent a letter to Congress praising the pro-life aspects, but also said the bill, quote, creates grave challenges for the poor and vulnerable. And lawyers, advocacy groups, and former colleagues will now get to weigh in on President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. Judge Neil Gorsuch emerged unscathed from 2 days of tough questioning at his Senate confirmation hearing. Gorsuch received glowing GOP reviews as well as complaints from Democrats because they say he concealed his views. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes. Thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. British couple Mark Gaffey and Claire Johnson announced their engagement on a television special called Me and My Guide Dog. That's because Mark and Claire are blind, and they wouldn't have even become a couple if it weren't for their guide dogs, Rod and Venice. These two amorous golden retrievers met when their owners took a guide dog training course. Even after their training sessions with their dogs had ended, Claire and Mark got together many times, each outing growing progressively longer than the last. It soon became clear that love was in the air, and not just for Rod and Venice. Claire said, "Mark and I connected straight away. We chatted about everything and anything, and it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for our dogs." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
could write a love song, tell you what I think you want to hear, but it wouldn't be good enough. All I can do is thank you for this life I never deserved. Wanna thank you for the grace I know I don't have to earn. You love me, you love me. Your mercy is proof. All I can do is say thank you. All I can do is say thank you. Thank you. All I can do, all I can do, all I can do.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. We are blessed to be joined by Jimmy Akin. Jimmy Akin has been with us before. He is the senior apologist at Catholic Answers. You hear him each week. He is someone who really understands the Catholic faith, and he does an excellent job defending it. Jimmy Akin, welcome back to Spirit in the Morning.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right, Jimmy, last time when we had you on, we set the segment up. We talked a little bit about your latest book, A Daily Defense, 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist. Well, this time I really wanted to get into the book. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to tackle some of the challenges and your response. Does that sound good?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. Let's start with this one. I consider myself spiritual rather than religious. Why isn't that enough? We hear that one a lot, Jimmy.
Yeah, the basic answer is because God loves you and he wants better things for you. It's good if you're spiritual, and that means you recognize that there's more to the world than just meaningless matter, and that there is a spiritual dimension to the world, and that's good. But generally, when people say that, when they say, I'm not religious, that means, among other things, that they don't think that they know a lot about that spiritual realm. They have a sense that it's there, but they don't have a detailed knowledge of it. And that's an invitation to learn more, because if you're acknowledging, okay, there is this spiritual dimension to the world, and it's good to acknowledge that, but having a little bit of knowledge about the spiritual world, namely that it exists, if that's good, then knowing more about the spiritual world is better. Just like knowing more about anything is better. And so if you acknowledge that there is this spiritual dimension to the world, then that's an invitation to learn more. And when you do that, when you study the faith and the evidences for the faith, you find out that there's a good bit to know about the spiritual side of the world. In particular, that there's a God who loves you and who wants you to be with him for all eternity. That's wonderful. Now, of course, you don't, just because someone claims that doesn't mean they proved it to you. But that's what the field of apologetics is for, to give you the evidence that you need to take that basic insight that there is a spiritual dimension to the world and build on that into an actual knowledge of the spiritual world.
And I love the way you do it in this book. And for the benefit of anybody who is not familiar with the book or who didn't hear our previous interview, you take one argument or one challenge each day. You have a brief one-line defense and then a few paragraphs to elaborate on that so that we can understand the faith a little bit more, one challenge at a time, and be able to defend our Catholic faith to those who might challenge it.
Yeah.
Very simple. Let's do another one. That was good. This is one that always confused me. I've heard this so many times. The Christian idea of an omnipotent God is logically contradictory. Can God make a stone so heavy that he can't lift it? If he can, then there's something he can't do, which is lift the stone. But if he can, then there's also something he can't do, which is to make the stone. How would you defend that, Jimmy?
Well, this objection is very common. I mean, I remember debating this in philosophy class back in grad school. I was a philosophy major. And in one session, I gave kind of a facetious answer. I said, no, God couldn't make such a stone, because if he did, it would collapse under its own weight and become a black hole, thus ceasing to be a stone. And my professor said, congratulations, welcome to academia. You just answered the question while dodging the issue. To give a more serious answer, it involves a misunderstanding of what omnipotence is.
Okay.
Omnipotence doesn't mean the ability to make anything you can say. It means, to theologians, the ability to make anything that is logically consistent. So, for example, God could not make a four-sided triangle. A four-sided triangle is something you can say, but if you think about it, it's just gibberish, because it involves a logical contradiction. If it's a triangle, it has three sides. It can't have four sides. Similarly, God couldn't make a square circle, meaning something that has both a square perimeter and a circular perimeter and only one perimeter.
Okay.
You know, you can't, that's just a logical contradiction. And so if you say, well, could God make a square circle or could God make a four-sided triangle? The answer is no, and that doesn't violate his omnipotence, because neither of those are logically possible entities. They both involve a logical contradiction. So the question then is, what category does a stone too heavy for a being with unlimited lifting power to lift, what category does that fall in? Is that a logically possible entity, like a bunny rabbit is? Because obviously he made those, or does it involve a logical contradiction? And if you think about it, you know, omnipotence means you're going to have infinite lifting power, and a stone that couldn't be lifted with infinite lifting power would have to have more than infinite weight. And the phrase more than infinite is a logical contradiction. And so that shows us that this proposed stone is in the same category as a four-sided triangle or a square circle or a married bachelor. It involves a logical contradiction, and therefore it's just a gibberish phrase in terms of its intellectual content. And consequently, it's not something that falls within the scope of God's omnipotence, and therefore the inability to make one doesn't infringe on God's omnipotence.
I like that explanation. You do such a good job explaining that in very few words, so I appreciate that. This is the type of thing that I could read and feel empowered to go out and explain when I'm challenged to explain this concept.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. Let's do one more, because I hear this frequently. Why should we bother praying? If God is all-knowing, he knows what we need, and we can't change his mind anyway, so what's the point? Jimmy, that's a popular one.
Yeah, you know who also made this point about God knows what we need before we ask him? Jesus.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, Jesus made this point. He said, you don't need to use a lot of words when you pray, because your Father already knows what you need. So that shows us that, you know, this is something that Jesus himself was aware of, but yet he encouraged people to pray.
Right.
Why? Well, if God already has all the information he needs, then that tells us prayer is not about giving God information. God already has all of that.
Right.
In fact, he's omniscient. He knows everything that can be known. And so there must be some other reason why God would want us to pray. So let's think about what's on God's priority list. Later in the Gospels, Jesus talks about two great commandments that he says sum up everything else. What's the first of those great commandments?
The first of the great commandments is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Right,
right. Right. And what's the second?
To love your neighbor.
To love your neighbor. So if God's first great priority is love of God, and his second great priority is love your neighbor, then that suggests love is at the top of God's priority list. So what would happen if we didn't ever pray? If we just if we just curled up in ourselves and never talked to God, because we're social beings. Talking
right.
to each other is how we relate.
Right.
And so if we just, if we never talked to God, we wouldn't be in as strong a relationship with God as if we did talk to him, because talking to someone is how we show concern and appreciation, and it's how we reach out in love. And so by having us pray to him and by incentivizing us to pray to him, by giving us certain benefits as a result of prayer,
mm-hmm.
God encourages us not to just curl up in ourselves, but to reach out and to think about him, and also to think about other people that we pray for.
Mm.
And so in that way, it builds both the love of God by relating to him and love of neighbor by praying for our neighbors. And so as a result of that, the whole Christian community is built up in love. That's what prayer is really about. It's about building relationship and love. Not about giving God information or trying to change his mind.
And I think sometimes we misunderstand what prayer is about. I think a very primitive form of prayer is when I need something, I ask for it. That's one form of prayer, but essentially it's not really the only kind of prayer.
Right. We don't just talk to people when we need stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and if we lose sight of that relationship, then our prayer life will be affected by it. And I think that's something I've seen in my own life. Initially, I was just asking for things that I felt that I needed. Then it expands, and I'm asking for the needs of other people. But then I'm just conversing with the Lord, finally getting to the point where I can say, Lord, what can I do for you?
Mm-hmm. And that type of prayer is particularly pleasing to God. The more selflessness and the more love we can show for him and for others, the more pleasing it is to him.
Definitely. Jimmy, I want to thank you for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. That book again, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. The best place to get the book?
You can get it at Catholic.com or at Amazon.com. It's available both in paperback and in electronic form. Mm-hmm. And if you get the Kindle version, you can not only download it and be reading it in seconds, you can also have your Kindle device read it to you out loud.
Ooh, I like that. And the best place to follow you online is JimmyAiken.com, correct?
Correct. JimmyAiken.com, JimmyAiken.com.
Thank you so much, Jimmy, for taking some time to be with us on Spirit in the Morning. God bless you and keep up the great work, brother.
My pleasure. Likewise.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholics Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
You probably don't like being lied to, you know? Most people are not that comfortable being lied to. Most people wouldn't say, oh yeah, I don't mind if my friends lie to me, or I don't mind if my spouse lies to me, you know? But it's interesting, I think, to see how casual our relationship is with the truth sometimes. And of course, like anything, it starts in small ways. It starts in small ways. We think, just a little lie here or a little lie there. And little by little, it begins to unravel, and we end up with a really casual relationship with the truth. Of course, that's where our society is right now. And worse than having a casual relationship with the truth, we actually live in a culture that's trying to murder truth. You see, the culture hates truth. Current culture doesn't believe in objective truth. What does that mean? It means the current culture doesn't believe that anything is true for everybody. Current culture is preaching the idea of, oh, well, you've got your truth and I've got my truth, and what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me, and you live your truth and I'll live my truth, and you do whatever you want to do and I'll do whatever I want to do, and you leave me alone and I'll leave you alone, and we'll all live happily ever after in our own individual truth. And that's nonsense. You know, it's absolute nonsense that some things are true for everybody, but in a culture that's trying to murder truth, one of the casualties is wisdom. You know, because truth and wisdom are intimately connected. Wisdom is not the amassing of knowledge. Wisdom is not even just an elevated form of knowledge. Google doesn't have any wisdom. You know, it's got all the knowledge in the world, right? It's got all the information in the world, but it doesn't have wisdom. And the reason is because wisdom is truth lived. Wisdom is actually not knowing the truth. Wisdom is living the truth. So as our culture tries to murder truth, guess what? You see a lot less wisdom in our culture. And if there's no such thing as truth, as our culture would like you to believe, well, then there is actually no such thing as wisdom. Because you've got your own truth, and your own truth equates to your own wisdom, and I've got my own truth, and my own truth equates to my own wisdom. So really, if everything's wisdom, then there's no such thing as wisdom. And of course, the biggest practical casualty in this war against truth is the good decision. We don't see that many good decisions. Look around daily life. You don't see that many good decisions being made, because as our culture tries to murder truth, wisdom becomes a casualty. And as wisdom becomes a casualty, really good decisions become a casualty, because our culture doesn't believe that there's any such thing as a great decision. Our culture believes there's no such thing as objective truth. And if there's no such thing as objective truth, every decision becomes equal. Some decisions are better than other decisions. Some choices are better than other choices. What makes them better? How closely they align with truth. How closely they align with truth. And decisions that align with truth, well, that's wisdom. And so the great challenge for you and me on a daily basis is to align our lives with truth, is to reject the casual relationship with truth and say, you know what? I'm going to take truth seriously. I must start to speak the truth in all situations. I must start to live the truth in all situations, even the little things that seem insignificant, because they erode your relationship with truth. And as Christians, we're called to have a serious relationship with truth. We're called to take truth seriously, not just to have a casual relationship of convenience with truth.
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
We have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. One by one, the enemy is whisper lies and let them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory.
Come Alive, Dry Bones by Lauren Daigle. The time is 7:56 on Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for tuning in. And my thanks to Jimmy Akin and Pat Gohn for being on with us today. Time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. It comes from Sirach 31:1. Wakefulness over wealth wastes away the flesh, and anxiety over it drives away sleep. We all need money, but what we need to do is keep things in perspective. If we spend an exorbitant amount of time worrying about money, we're going to become very stressed out. What we need to do is make sure we're spending time with the Lord every day. Talk to Him. Try to keep your eyes focused on Him as best as you can. A lot of the things we worry about are things that one day will be gone. Temporary things we spend a lot of time worrying about. How do we get over this? Spend time reading Scripture. Spend time talking to Jesus. And focus on Him, focus on heaven. Let's do our concluding prayer before we sign off. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We implore Your Majesty most humbly, O Lord, that as the feast of our salvation draws ever closer, so we may press forward all the more eagerly towards the worthy celebration of the Paschal mystery. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, who lives and reigns with You in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you can join us on the program tomorrow. We're going to be joined by Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who's going to give us some ideas about how to start cultivating a Catholic faith, check this out, that goes beyond Sunday Mass. Catholic social teaching, what's the deal with immigration, abortion, issues like that. Dr. Bunsen's going to be on with us to talk about that. We'll also be visited by our buddy Dan Burke for his weekly Into the Deep segment. So I hope you'll be able to tune in. Remember to follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com. We'll have links to all of our guests, Pat Gohn's website, Jimmy Akin's website, and his new book. We'll have that at spiritinthemorning.com. If you have any comments or questions about the program, feel free to shoot me an email at gary@holyspiritradio.org. And also remember, if you're in the Warrington area, my Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry parish mission kicks off Sunday night. So it's free of charge. Just stop on by. I'd love to meet you. I'll have my books for sale. I'll be there. We can talk, and it'll be a great time. So I hope you can join me for that. Again, thank you for listening to the program. Remember to keep us in your prayers. I promise to keep you in my prayers as well. Wherever you go today, whatever you do, you know who's with you. The Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. God bless you. Talk to you next time.